Well, we're going to go spend some time in God's Word. We're going to go to 1 John first, 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to entitle this Jump Around, because I have no topic per se. And we're just going to jump around God's Word and look at some of God's Word that we all have heard so many times and love and enjoy. And it's just great to hear and go, you know, to keep hearing what God's Word says and to keep thinking about it and allow it to bless our lives and strengthen our lives and inspire us and comfort us. And it's just terrific. So, and there was a point in our lives that we didn't know any of this stuff. Whether we were a little kid and we finally, you know, started getting taught it as a little kid, or we were an adult and we finally started hearing it. But they're just terrific truths. So the first one is in First John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1, very popularly known verse of Scripture. And this is about God being our Father. And God mentioned that a number of times just a few minutes ago. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Not somebody else, not just good people, not just well-behaved or smart people, but just us, you know, the U.S. "The Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." What a great truth that is, that we are His children and we're called sons of God. So that's a great privilege, that God is our Father, we're His children. Oh, just amazing. And He loves us. And God says, look at that love that I love you with. Behold the manner of love where the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now. Whether we feel like it or not, but right now we are the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And that's the hope, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." When we have the hope of the return of Jesus Christ alive in our heart and in our understanding, it's something that cleanses us. It's a cleansing reality for us. Don't know what to compare to. Maybe a poor family where a kid is looking forward to a Christmas present, you know, and he knows he's not going to get one, you know, and all the other kids are going to get all these Christmas presents. He's got no hope of getting a Christmas present. And that kid probably feels terrible on Christmas morning. But and they must be out there, because there's these things, you know, tots for, what was it, toys for tots? I mean, somebody normally wouldn't be getting one. But we have a hope, and that's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a cleansing to our lives. Just an incredible thing. But what great truths, and we should never take it for granted. You know, that we are a son of God. If that doesn't wake you up in the morning, try His love. He loves you. And if that doesn't wake you up, try He's coming back. Let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ." What a fellowship that we get to share fully with God the Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and His Son Jesus Christ. Is there a better company to be with? And look who we have to be able to share life with. Those two. Just incredible. And it's readily available for us. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may once in a while be a little bit there. Now that our joy may be full, fullness of joy. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So anything that's attributed to the devil, which is darkness, God doesn't have that in him. He is not dark, doesn't have any darkness, not a speck of darkness in him. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we could say, hey, you know, I'm fellowship with him, but then our actions are manifest darkness. God says, you know, you're a liar. Like Sarah, when she heard that she was going to get pregnant, and she laughed, and then she denied that she laughed, and God said, no, you laughed. Really, you laughed. Verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I remember before I got in God's Word, I didn't understand what sin was, and I didn't think I was a terrible person. I mean, I wasn't perfect. I mean, near perfect. But I didn't think of myself as like a sinner. You know, I didn't go around doing super terrible things and hurting people. I didn't really think about it. But the older you get, if you're not in God's Word and you still think you're just wonderful and perfect on your own, you're deceiving yourself. And that's what it says. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If, here's a great truth, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate or a defense attorney, the Father, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, which means payment, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. And I was just going to do chapter 3, the first couple verses, and I said, there's so much stuff in 1 John. We can't leave it yet. We're jumping around, right? 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ in us. And that's greater than anything that the world has to offer or fight against us with. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth or loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, if he's willing to love us, we should make an effort to love one another. If he loves us, why wouldn't we? Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. They're sort of like oil and water. They don't mix per se. You know, they stay separated. So if you got fear in your life, you're lacking love. If you got a lot of love in your life, you won't have much fear, if any. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. That's a great truth. We didn't love God first. And he said, all right, I'll start loving you too. He first loved us. We caught on to it and we said, oh, thank you. I like this. I like you too. It's like that first kiss. Who gave the first kiss? Verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Plain and simple. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let's go to 3 John. No chapter. Well, chapter 1, but don't want chapter. 3 John, we're going to look at verse 2. Very commonly known, popularly known. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What a promise. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Man. And that's the same for our children. We're thrilled when they walk God's word. You know, just what else would you really want for your child than to live the word of God? Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. What a privilege it is for us to have been taught these great truths and to think about them and live them and share them. They're just terrific truths that we have to abide in. Nothing better. Psalm 51, verse 12. This is David after he had done some devilish things concerning Bathsheba and her husband, and he got reproved and he recognized his error and he needed a little help. And it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation or wholeness, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, restoration is something that he needed and God provided. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, what an incredible book with the great truths that are in the book of Ephesians. And chapter 2, the start of it, shows where we were before we got born again, where mankind is without without God. And then God's great love for us. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle or manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were all in that boat, whether we were just like a good old person that didn't really beat people up, but still not born again, or you were like a killer, just love to kill people, just love to hurt people. All in the same boat. It's like you could be in a rescue boat. Like if you were on the Titanic and it was sinking and you got one of those boats. I mean, if you didn't get in one of those boats, you could have $1 million in your pocket and the guy next to you has got nothing in his pocket. You're on the same boat. You're both going to go down. Your five senses ability got nothing to do with your end result. But we were all in that same condition at one time. And then somewhere along the line, we heard the word of God, believed it, and got out of it. And this is, verse 4 explains why and how. But God, and this explains who our rich right over here is. This is God's name. He's rich. So God, who is rich, right there. Sort of. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There was a joke once that a guy said, I bet you don't know what God's name is. And he goes, oh, sure I do. He goes, Howard. And he goes, Howard? And he goes, yeah. Jesus Christ is always praying, Howard be thy name. Anyway, okay. The other name was Rich, his middle name. Okay, so here we go. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Just great, great, great truths. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Who can quote it? Anybody want to say it out loud? Susan?
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Right. So, and we get it. What a great truth. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, really? That's all you have to do? And I kept saying it over and over and over out loud. Eventually I started doing it out loud. I did it in my mind and heart for a long time, and then I started doing it out loud thinking, okay, I still don't know if I'm saved or not, and I didn't want to take any chances, so I figured repetition wouldn't hurt. I think it was like a month or two later, I learned that I could speak in tongues, you know, so I learned what that was, spoken tongues, and then I stopped doing that time after time every day. I knew that I was born again, you know. But up until then, I really wasn't totally sure if I was doing it right or whatever, you know. But what a great truth in Romans. Let's go to Ephesians 3. We're there. Verse 16. This is a prayer in Ephesians. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with a couple of the saints. With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. What an amazing truth, that we can be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, it's beyond my understanding how we can be filled, but it says we can be filled with the fullness of God. And just, it's amazing. That's as good of a vacation as it gets. To be filled with the fullness of God and to understand the love of Christ. Man, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember we used to say, something, and we'd say Ephesians 3:20 style. You know, it's just God does stuff for our lives that's just incredible. Bigger than we ever could imagine. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Still the same God today. Chapter 5. And these are all very familiar verses of Scripture to us. And they live in our lives. They live in our hearts. It's just great to rejoice over them and think about them and have them floating in there and considering them. Chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have that wonderful ministry of reconciliation. It's in our court. The ball is in our court. God has given us a ministry of reconciling people back to himself. To wit, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Once in a while, we are ambassadors. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man. Incredible. Absolutely incredible that we have the righteousness of God in him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9 while we're in the ballpark. Second Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's a lot in there. You know, all things, every good work, all grace, all sufficiency. Incredible. And that's to us. When we forget that stuff, we're in trouble. We need to be reminded. And what a great thing to be reminded of is something like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're just jumping around. There are so many scriptures that we can look at and just rejoice in and thrill in and be encouraged in and comforted in. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I've always loved these scriptures. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That in and of itself is amazing. Like, we have God's grace given to us. We have the peace of God given to us. How often have we thought, oh, I just want to have some peace. Just want to have some comfort. We have it. It's available to us. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that we went over that last week. The word comfort is parakleo, or it's God calling us aside. It's like putting his arm around us, and he speaks unto us words that bring a comfort or an exhortation or an encouragement or an inspiration, whatever the need may be. That's what he speaks softly into our ears, so to speak. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. They're just such great truths, great promises. It's almost like too good to be true. You know, that God could be, wants to fellowship with us. It's just amazing. Chapter 1, verse 18. This is the last section we're going to look at. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed or bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or vain lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For verily, I mean, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What a great truth that is. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we have tasted of the Lord, and he is gracious. And we do want to feed on that great word of God. And these are just a little smorgasbord, so to speak, of scriptures, of truths that we have learned and we love and we talk about and we endeavor to apply in our lives and teach. And boy, it's not a fairy tale. You know, it's not like psychiatric help you up, you know. It's truth. It's actual truth. So, and it's a privilege to be able to know them, to understand them, to grow in them, to share them with one another, to live the truth of God with one another. You know, what better things do we have to do than to stand with God's household and to be blessed in the household? You know, it's just nice. And we're different. I mean, we are different from one another, and that's fine. But we stand on the same truth of God's word. And, you know, look at Jesus Christ. He could say, hey, I'm different from you guys. I have never sinned. So, I'm not associating with you. He could have. But it says we have fellowship with the Father and his Son. It's pretty amazing. Everybody he meets, he's done better than when you think about it. But there's a day coming when we get our bodies changed and we're without sin and we see him. He's going to say, high five. So it'll be wonderful. So just great truths. Thankful to for men and women through the centuries that have stood on God's word, that have kept the word of God alive into future generations, and for books that were written about God's word, and the people who preserved the word through the years. You know, those monks and nuns, I forget what they call them, the convents and the
monasteries
and all those, you know, the years ago I used to think, they were so religious. But really what they were doing, they were shunning the world around them because they didn't understand it, but they wanted to preserve the word. And so they kept themselves as pure as they could and clean and kept making copies of the word. And that was their aim, to keep this thing preserved so that it could live in future days. And we benefited from their work. You know, the copies that they made and the transcripts and going from one language to another. And yes, there were some forgeries, doctrines that they messed up, but overall, if it wasn't for those people drinking their beer, maybe that's how some of those things got screwed up. You know, I think I had a little too much hops yesterday. So, but you know, think about it, their lives were dedicated to doing that. Our lives are worth a lot, they really are. We should never allow ourselves to think, you know, I really don't mean that much. No, we do. Our lives really mean a lot. And So it's wonderful to be able to stand together. And I surely love you guys. I know you love me. I'm sorry about my humor. I don't really think I'm ever going to get healed. So you're just going to have to somehow forgive me. So come naturally. But I can sing good.